got a handful of scriptures, and I just felt like the power of the Word of God ought to be something that speaks to you. So I wanted to read some scriptures. It's not the way it's normally done here, but again, I'm a pastor, and so I want to do this for you. I'm not doing this against you. I want to do this for you. Because it really matters what you say to yourself. Doesn't matter so much what I say to you, but when you leave, what are you going to say to yourself? And I think there's something that you really ought to be saying to yourself that you may not yet be saying to yourself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You are created and designed by God. He is the master designer, and He has a master design for your life. And it's all full of good things. It's not full of abuse. It's not full of addiction. God never intended you to be addicted. He didn't design you. I know you've got synapses in your brain that can get addicted and be addicted and desire the drug or the alcohol or even sometimes the abuse, and that you get accustomed to it and you think that becomes natural. But that's not God's original design for your pleasure centers. Your pleasure center is designed to be filled by God's touch, by God's presence, by God's love. Amen. Because He loves you and He created you so He could be in relation with you. Genesis 1:27, God created man and woman in His own image. God created He, him, and male and female created He them. So God created you. God designed you. I want you to hear me as I preach to you for a few minutes. Genesis 5 and 1, the book of the generations of Adam, and the day that God created man in the likeness of God. You're made, think about that. You're made in the likeness of God. God does not make Himself for abuse. God does not make Himself for addiction. God does not design Himself so that He can be addicted, so that He can be bound, so that He can be dominated by others, by men, by situations. Amen. God intended and designed and made us like Him. And He is free. Amen. He is not bound. And we are designed to be absolutely free. Held back by nothing, held down by nobody. We're designed to be free because we're made in the very image of God. What you wrestle with and what many people wrestle with is their own self-image. You think about yourself because of, and I think one of the ladies, and I don't mean to make reference in a negative light, that's not my attempt, but she made reference to what I thought of myself. And if I could change one thing in every single person in the room, it's what you say to yourself about yourself. If you could ever get to the place where you say that I am created in the image of God, and God designed me for a purpose, and He has a life for me and a good life for me, and He's going to show me and lead me to the life that He has designed for me. Amen. Because I'm created after the image of God. I'm not created in the image of abuse. I'm not created in the image of addiction. That is not my creation. That is not my design. That is not my purpose. Yes, you can take a Porsche and drive it out into the woods and try to go mudding with it, and you're not going to get very far. And that's the reason, if you're in a situation that bogs you down and weighs you down and you feel stuck, it might be because you're in a situation that you're not designed for, that God didn't create you for, and God wants to call you out of that into a life of light and peace and joy. Amen. Think about all the things that are created for a purpose. sound system's created for a purpose. Your clothing's created for a purpose. Your shoes are designed for a purpose. Everything in life is created for a purpose. You buy what you buy and wear what you wear for a purpose. You wear the clothes to keep warm, or you want to be attractive, or you want to be sexy. You wear something that you're trying to be sexy, or you're trying to be cool. You wear glasses, you wear shades, you wear whatever it is. However you color your hair, however you cut your hair, however you design yourself, you're doing it for a purpose. You have a reason. If you feel like you're worthless, then you wear worthless clothes. If you feel like nobody loves you, then you go around and act like nobody loves you. You put your nose in a corner. Nobody's going to want me. Nobody's going to care for me. And so you hide away. You isolate yourselves because that's what you say to yourself. And you create yourself as someone that's locked away, locked up, and nobody cares about. But I'm telling you, that is not what you're designed for. You're designed to be loved by God and be loved by people and have people in your life that you can love. You're designed, amen, to be together, united, held up, bound together. You're designed for that. Isaiah 41 and 20 says, that they may see and know and consider. Think about that. Consider, understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. Now let's look at what you're created for. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Several times Jesus says, as he's talking to people when he's on the earth, several times he asks them directly, have you not read? Do you not understand? Amen. The Word of God contains truth for your life. And if you know him, you begin to know his word, then you begin to know truth. And truth sets you free. And I've met too many people in my life that have been lied to and cheated and abused, beaten. We had a young lady in our church. I never could convince her. My great regret. I never could convince her that she had value. 29 years old, she drunk herself to death. She literally died of an overdose of liquor at 29 years old. And I promise you, I commit to myself and to you that I will never let someone come to our church and not hear that Jesus Christ made you to be free from that. Amen. And made you, created you. And John 8:36, if the Son hath made you free, if the Son hath made you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Nothing is designed to bind you. Nothing is designed to hold you. You're made to be completely free. Free to live for God, free to love God, free to worship God, free to not be embarrassed, to raise your hands, for tears to run down your face. Amen. Several, this young lady back here kept, hallelujah, amen, or whatever it was she was shouting out. I like her. Amen. Most of us are too embarrassed to do that. We kind of would like to worship God, but we're embarrassed or sometimes ashamed. You feel like you're not worth, or somebody's going to look at you. But the funny thing is, David danced in the streets of Israel, amen, because he was only interested in God seeing him. He began to worship God out. His own wife despised him, saw him from the window and despised him. And when he got home, she rebuked him. What are you doing out there? You've embarrassed me. You're dancing in front of the whole city. You make yourself act like a fool. And he said, I'd be more foolish than this. Amen. Because I'm worshiping the God that loves me. I'm worshiping, amen, the presence of the Almighty God. And he literally was carrying the Ark of God into Jerusalem. And he was so excited because that represented the presence of God coming into the city of Jerusalem. And what you must know today is God's presence is designed to live inside of this city, to reside here. I know it's good word. That's the reason I'm saying it today. Hallelujah. I agree with myself. Normally I say amen, amen to myself. If nobody out there says amen, I'm saying amen. Because it's what the Word of God says. He made you to be free. He designed you to be free. Galatians 4:31. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman. The conversation is about Abraham. Abraham, God had told Abraham, you're going to have a child. And his wife came to him, and they were old. I mean, old, not me old, older than me old. And God said, you're going to have a child. And so they went along a few years, and his wife said, you know what, maybe it's not me that's going to have a child. Maybe you misheard God. Maybe you misunderstand God. Why don't you take my bondwoman? Why don't you take my slave, and you sleep with her, and you have a child with her? And maybe that's what God meant, is that you would sleep with a slave woman, and she would produce a child. And she produced a child, and God came to Abraham, and I'm certainly paraphrasing, and said, man, you made a mistake. I'm not about to take a child of the free and marry him to a bond. You married, and I had you marry Sarah, your wife. And I promised you that Sarah, your wife, is going to produce a child. And that child is going to be a child of faith, not a child of your planning, of your hand, and not a bondage. And so later on, when they're 99 years old and she's in her 90s, she turns, the whole nature of life changes. She's already past child rearing. Her womb has already dried up. She's not going to be able to produce a child. That time of life is over. And yet God steps into her life and redoes time. He remakes her womb and prepares her to receive a child. And her husband get together. And by faith, she conceives a child. And that is a child. Here in this scripture, it is a child of the free. And what I'm telling us today is you can be connected to the bond and the bondage, or you can be connected to the free. And in this scripture, he said, you're not children of the bondwoman, but you are children of the free. And I think I'm talking to some people with faith in here, and I'm just trying to lift your faith a little higher, amen, because you're not children of the bondage any longer. Amen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, then you're a child of the free. Amen. And no longer to be held by the bound. It does not own you. It does not captivate you. It can't contain you. It can't stop you. Amen. You are designed by God to be a child of the free. Amen. That is his purpose. Romans 5:18 goes a little further. So therefore, by offense, one judgment came to all men to condemnation. Even so, by righteousness, one of the free gift came on all men and the justification of life. Chapter 6, verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. Amen. There's another verse, I don't have it written down here, but it says we're buried with him by baptism, so that as like as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also rise and walk in newness of life. So as Jesus died and was buried and resurrected and the Spirit came back in him to walk a new life, amen, so we die out as we repent of our sins and we're buried in a watery grave, amen, our life is buried by baptism so that we can rise up and walk a brand new life in Jesus Christ. That is God's design for us today, amen, that we step out of bondage into life everlasting. That we step out of fear and doubt and unbelief and into a life of faith. That's God's design for us. Somebody help me and say amen.
Amen.
Now what you've got to do is say that in you. You've got to say that when you're wrestling. You've got to say that when you're afraid. You've got to say that when you're overwhelmed. When the enemy comes back and tries to put you back into bondage, tries to tie you back down. And the only place that you can say it is inside of you. Doesn't matter what I say today. Doesn't matter what I say. Literally. I always view preaching as me cutting off a piece of pie and asking you to eat it. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God. But I can't make people eat, and I can't make you say to yourself, God made me free, and I refuse to be bound again. Because when you die, you're free from sin. Verse 18 of chapter 6 of Romans says, being then made free, you become servants to righteousness. And I can't put every verse down that I'd like to say, but there's a verse that, and I think this is so true. I really do believe some of you will recognize it. And it says, I think it's Romans chapter 8, that sin is like a ring in a cow. You know how they put rings in cows' noses and then they hook onto it with a rope? And a child can literally grab hold of the rope and start pulling, and a 2,000-pound bull will go with the child because it's captured by a ring through its nose. And isn't that the way the world, sin, Satan, does us, captures us, and then it leads us where we really don't want to go. And it owns and dominates our behaviors. And the Bible uses this example not to condemn us for being captured that way, but we transition. And so no longer are we slaves and servants to sin, that we become children of God. And then we become children of righteousness. So then we begin to follow after and reflect the thing that captures us, that owns us, and that's the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. That His Spirit literally can lead us out of bondage into righteousness. Verse 18, being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, listen to me, back in the day when you were servants of sin, amen, back in the day when you were under bondage, you were free from righteousness. Anybody remember being free from righteousness? You could act any way, any fool way you wanted to act. And a lot of people just cheered that. Yes, that's the way we want you to act. We want you to act in the most base manner possible. And you're free. You don't have to be righteous. But when you're free in Christ, then you have the opportunity to serve righteousness. So verse 22 kind of sums that up. Being now made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Amen. What a great truth. I have 1 minute, and I have one verse left. Have you ever been to an orchard? You ever picked apples from an orchard? Been a grape arbor and picked grapes? You ever been to a strawberry field and picked strawberries and eaten them right out of the field? Or blueberries, that's popular in our area. I love to go blueberry picking and don't do it very much. I used to take my kids and occasionally my grandkids. I want to do that a little bit more. But it's so fun. You put a little bucket on your hip and you go through, and get blueberries and you just go through. I mean, you pull them off the trees just handfuls at a time. You put them in your pocket and you put one handful in your pocket, in your bucket, one handful in your mouth. And then, you know, one handful in your bucket and one handful in your mouth. It's awesome. I love it. But I've never heard a fruit tree go, I wish I could produce an apple. When you walk through a fruit yard, apple tree, oranges, the trees are just there producing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. It comes out. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It just comes out of you. Living for God, being in love with God, the fruit of God comes out of you. You don't even have to try. You just have to try to be in relationship with God, and then all of His benefits flow through you. And wherever you're at in the journey, wherever you're at, if you're just getting started and you've not seen that kind of thing happen in your life, that's why I'm preaching. I'm preaching hope for you. I'm preaching keep the faith. Stay on your journey. Trust the Lord. Amen. Because God's going to take you exactly where He wants you to go. My last verse, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You're designed by God, after the image of God, and that's the way He wants you to live, is after His image, free. Amen. And you're worth it because He designed you. He created you. Amen. You are in His image. One of the ladies, I think, said something, I didn't feel worth it. You're not worth it because you're worth it. You're worth it because He designed you. And you are beautiful just the way you are. Amen. Because that's the way He designed you. Amen. Amen. They're going to dock my pay for 2 minutes over. Stand with me, would you? I don't know you. I don't know your struggles. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you wrestle with. I know God loves you. And I know sometimes it can be hard to feel that way. And sometimes the guilt and the condemnation assails us and it tries to blind us. And the only thing I can tell you is go to God in prayer. Say, God, I want to know that You love me. I want You to show me. I want You to lead me, guide me. And so I feel after my sermon, we ought to take a minute. Now, I'm Pentecostal. We have altar calls. You know, a lot of churches don't have altar calls, and sometimes people aren't very comfortable with that. But I think it's a great thing. I heard a preacher say, you know what? The altar ought not be a clean place. The altar ought to be a place where you go unload the dirtiness, the weight and the pain and the difficulty, and leave it here. So if you feel like you need to come and dirty up our altar and leave a few things behind, amen. I'm going to invite you to step out. And why don't we do it this way? So I'm not picking anybody out. I don't want to pick on anybody, and I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. Why don't you just everybody. I don't know who needs it and who doesn't need it. Why don't you just step out and come down, and we're going to sing for a minute, and you can kneel in a pew, you can stand, you can worship the Lord. We're going to sing together for a few minutes. This doesn't count against my sermon time, all right? This is free time. Amen. Why don't you start? I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through. But a good place to start is God created me a clean heart. God, take away these things out of me that don't belong in me.